Well, hello, Heart Journeyers. Welcome to the Heart Journey podcast, which used to be called the Whole Life Podcast with Dr. Barbara Jean Lowe Sauve. I am your host. I'm a minister, and I'm coming to you from my Christian worldview, your Christian worldview. So we take a biblical view of healing of the broken heart here on the Heart Journey podcast. But I also happen to be a psychologist. And today we're having Flashback Fridays, which means we're getting into some of that old content that we've served up in the past, and we're preparing it fresh and new and serving it on a hot platter for you to digest, because it's so good that we want to bring it back and enjoy it again. When my kids were little, they loved leftovers. I would make it in snack tray form, and we'd have this snack tray with all these. I'd cut things up in little squares and stuff, and they loved snack tray. It was like charcuterie board of leftovers, and they just loved it because they could have a little bit of everything they love. And that's what we're doing. Today we have Leslie Vernick. She spoke with us at the World Women's Wholeness Summit in 2020, and she's going to talk about unhealthy and healthy relationships. If you notice, she's going to talk about codependency, abuse patterns, and when it is kind of typical, we can all be a little abusive from time to time because of flesh, and then when we really have patterns of abuse. Now, she is speaking to women in regard to abusive relationships with men or sometimes other women, mothers, etc. However, I want you men to notice that these same patterns can be going on in your relationships, because women also can demonstrate these patterns too. We're in our series on from codependence to Christ dependence, and this is a perfect addition with our Flashback Friday with Leslie Vernick. We're going to hear part one this week, and we're also going to hear part two for next week's Flashback Friday. So enjoy Leslie Vernick. Well, I am thrilled about our next speaker. She is a dear friend and someone that I admire tremendously. She really has taken on some hard issues through her writing, her speaking, and her teaching, and God is using her profoundly. In fact, on this couch right behind me, I often have clients talk about what they're learning from her book. So I am thrilled to have my friend and my colleague, Leslie Vernick, on the summit. Welcome, Leslie.
Thank you, Barbara. I am so glad to be here. You know, I used to be a licensed clinical social worker in my practice in Pennsylvania, and then I moved into writing and speaking and coaching, and now I live in Arizona and love, love, love the weather. But I want to talk to you today about a woman in her relationships, wholeness in relationships. And I'm going to start by sharing with you the importance of good relationships, that God really wants us to have good relationships, and they're important to your physical, emotional, and mental well-being. I'm going to describe to you what a healthy relationship looks like, as well as give you the warning signs that your relationship isn't so healthy and even potentially toxic or dangerous. And I want you to know when the line is crossed, because all of us mess up from time to time. And so how do you know when it's just normal stuff and when it gets into the more toxic variety? And then last, I want to talk with you today about what it takes to rebuild a broken relationship. When trust has been broken, shattered by someone you loved and you thought loved you, someone who's betrayed you. Maybe it's been your husband, maybe it's been your fiance, maybe it's just been a good girlfriend, maybe it's even been your parent or your adult child. And you don't know if you can restore this relationship. What does it look like and what does it take? So let's dig in. And I want to start just by talking about the important ingredients in good mental health. And one of them is a good relationship. If you want to feel happy and alive in your life, you need people in your life and you need loving connections, not necessarily marriage, but you need a good friend. You need good people in your life, because life is hard. And when we experience hard in life, through outside circumstances or physical afflictions ravish your body, when you have a loving community that surrounds you, it provides really good insulation against depression as well as other maladies. An old Jewish proverb wisely says this: sticks in a bundle are not easily broken, but sticks alone can be broken by a child. The writer of Ecclesiastes says this: if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. And if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? I want you to know God cares about your relationship. And that's why he's designed you to be born into a family, as well as to be put into the family of God, to be a place of deep and loving relationship. Human connection is absolutely essential to your well-being, to your growth, and to your wholeness and maturity. God has tightly woven the longing for love, connection, and relationship right into our DNA, especially as women. In fact, you can't even fully develop as a human being without loving interactions with other people. For example, an infant that's physically cared for, but emotionally or relationally neglected, will fail to thrive and may even die. God says in his word that there's nothing more important than for you to love others well. Every single one of the Ten Commandments has something to do with relationship, either our relationship with God or our relationship with one another. And we intuitively know that. We intuitively know that God has designed us for intimacy and connection, both with him and with one another. But we also know realistically that not all of our relationships are functioning very well. They're not happening the way that God intends them to. And the Bible has some important things to say about that, especially the negative effects of toxic relationships on your spirit, your mind, your soul, and your body. For example, Proverbs says this. Now, please understand, Proverbs was written to a young man. So it's written with the woman being the bad guy, but it was written to a young man, but the truth of it is there. Better a dry crust eaten in peace than a house filled with feasting and conflict. Or how about this one? Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. Or what about this one? With their words, the godless destroy their friends, or maybe their adult children. God never minimizes or diminishes the negative effects or consequences bad relationships and toxic people can have on you. So let's look at some of the ingredients to start with of a healthy relationship, because many of us don't learn this in our own family of origin. I certainly didn't. I was raised by a mom who was bipolar and alcoholic. She was very abusive to me emotionally. And I had to start reading books when I got married on what does a healthy mother look like? What does a healthy marriage look like? Because I didn't see it growing up. So there are three essential ingredients in all healthy relationships, including marriage. And they are mutuality, reciprocity, and freedom. So I'm going to take each one and just dig a little deeper here. Mutuality means that each person in the relationship, both girlfriends or boyfriend and girlfriend or husband and wife, they bring things into the relationship that will enable that relationship to flourish, like mutual caring, mutual honesty, mutual respect, mutual responsibility for the care and the maintenance of the relationship, and mutual repentance for the brokenness in the relationship when it happens. Now, I don't have time to explore this in great detail, but I want to share with you just a few key points in this mutuality step. Because I remember speaking at Liberty University not too long ago, and a student came up to me and she was concerned because I was talking about mutuality and relationships. And she said, well, my parents always raised me to not look at what's in it for me and not to expect anything in a relationship, that I should just be a servant to others. And I'd been trying. My roommate is just so indifferent to me. I've tried to be friends with her. She doesn't care. I've tried to help her. She doesn't help me back. I've even done her laundry and I brought her a meal when she was sick in the dorm and she doesn't do anything back for me. And she said, I don't think this friendship is working very well. I'm afraid I'm getting resentful. Should I just keep being a servant? You see, sometimes we get mixed up because we've been taught that sacrifice, servanthood, and submission are Christian values, and they are. However, when the Bible speaks of them in practice, they're to be used for the welfare of another person. So going back to this Liberty University student, was she helping her roommate or was she enabling her roommate's selfishness and inconsideration by continuing to serve her and there was no relationship? This is where many Christian women especially make critical mistakes in their relationship, especially a marriage. Out of love, out of goodwill, longing for a good marriage, and just because you're a pretty nice person, you try to make your husband feel better or more secure by diminishing your own self. For example, you squash your dreams so you don't rattle his. You dumb down your own intellect and thirst for learning so that you don't wound his ego. You stop hanging out with your friends or your family when it becomes such a battle to have one night out. Or even you start wearing the clothes or hairstyle that he wants you to wear because it's just easier than to give in and have a fight. After all, doesn't servanthood and sacrifice and submission mean you should please him first? And isn't that the test of a godly wife, submission in all things? Would you be displeasing God if you stood up for what you wanted, what you needed, or you said no? Hear me. When your marriage or any other close relationship has a pattern where he matters and you don't, he's worth more and you're worth less, you will start to feel worthless. And that is not God's intention for you to be a whole woman or his intention for your relationship. Also, there's a kind of dishonesty I see often in women that's toxic and lethal to you and to your relationships and to your emotional health. It's called pretending. And we do it all the time in our relationships as women. We pretend something doesn't matter to us when it really does matter. We pretend we want to do something. Of course I love camping, when we don't like it at all. We act happy when we're hurting. We say something doesn't bother us when our blood is boiling. We pretend we're not as smart or as talented or as resourceful as we are so we don't offend someone or hurt their ego. We get so good at pretending to be something that we're not because we want someone to like us that we forget who we are and what God put inside of us to be passionate about. Instead, we keep morphing ourselves into whatever we think other people want us to be just so that they'll like us or want to be with us or give us some attention. Now, if you recognize yourself in this, in your relationships, if you want to get whole and healthy, you must take responsibility for your tendency to pretend and stop it. First, you need to learn to speak the truth in your relationships, not because you always feel like it, but because you're trying to make a change in order to facilitate more mutuality, deeper and more real relationship. And you're taking a step of obedience with God's help. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, if I do that, I won't have any relationships. If I'm honest with who I am or how I feel, no one will like me. No one will want to be with me. Now, this is probably not true, although you're terrified to test it to find out. For example, if you say to your girlfriend, you know, I'm going gluten-free. I don't really want to go out for pizza. I'd rather go to a steak place where I can eat healthier. Are you thinking she's going to reject you? Now, if she's a real friend, it's not likely, even if she loves pizza. But if she did reject you, wouldn't that give you some important information that she isn't really caring about your feelings or needs? And maybe this relationship isn't very mutual? Or what if you decided to wire up your courage and say to your mother, hey, you know what, Mom, we can't come home this vacation. We need to take a vacation as a family by ourselves. Do you think she's going to disown you? More likely, she will be disappointed. Maybe she'll even be surprised that you spoke up for yourself. But eventually, if this is a healthy relationship, she will accept your decisions and your family's needs. You see, as women, we fail to be honest because we tell ourselves we can't stand it when someone is angry or disappointed with us. But the truth is, every relationship has disappointments, even good relationships. No one can ever do everything someone else wants them to do or be all of the time. Now, I know some of you listening right now may be in relationships that are very lopsided, and perhaps you're afraid that if you stop pretending that you like this arrangement, the taker in your relationship won't hang around. And you might be right. Your honest talk, however, might be just the impetus he or she needs to change and start learning to give back and think of someone else for a change. That would be good for him or her, good for you, and good for your relationship. Now, one word of warning. If you've surrounded yourself with people who aren't used to you speaking the truth to them or saying no about things, your relationships will probably become a little bit more strained when you stop pretending. And it helps you to explain to people the changes that you're trying to make. And usually when they understand why you're acting differently, they can be more accepting. They may even applaud and admire the changes you're trying to make. And if that doesn't happen, and there's consistent resistance to your honest talk, and there's no mutual caring and no mutual respect, understand this too. A good, healthy relationship with that person is impossible. That's why I encourage women to stop pretending and over-accommodating early in the formation of a new relationship, because that's often when we're more accommodating and pretend more because we want someone to like us and want to be with us. But if you always are saying yes when you really wanted to say no, you'll never know whether a person respects you or cares about your feelings or your needs. And you won't know that before it's too late. So mutuality is important in any healthy relationship. And the operative word here is mutual. If there is no mutual, understand you can still have a relationship with that person, but it's called ministry. And that's okay. You can have ministry where you're the giver and someone else is a taker, but don't confuse that with a close friendship. The second ingredient is reciprocity. God designed relationships, especially marriage, to be loving and respectful partnerships, not a slave-master relationship or one where one person dominates and controls another person. So if you're in a relationship like marriage, or perhaps some other kind of friendship or partnership, where someone is bullying you or intimidating you or using words or finances or physical force or even the Bible to get you to do what they want you to do, understand they're sinning against you and against God's plan for marriage and relationship. Now, reciprocity is similar to mutuality. There's a give and take, but also there's shared power and shared responsibility. Now, here's a picture that's kind of funny and kind of sad, huh? Where a man has the power and the woman has the responsibility. These are women in unhealthy relationships. They have all the responsibility and the man has all the power. And the Apostle Paul in the Bible especially talks about important relationships like this and the factors of these relationships throughout his teaching in Ephesians and in Colossians. We're most familiar with the passages about husbands and wives, but I'm going to read to you a lesser known passage where one church was sacrificially giving to the welfare of a less prosperous church. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, because he doesn't want their relationship to get lopsided. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their needs so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. You see, mutuality and reciprocity are critical in a healthy relationship. And the last ingredient in order for any relationship to be maintained and flourish is freedom. You need the freedom to have honesty about what you think and what you feel, and the ability to hear what other people think and feel without getting defensive or reactive. Now, being truthful doesn't mean we just are free to blurt out whatever we think or feel without any reflection or prayer. God's word cautions us against reckless words. We need to learn to speak the truth, but in love. And speaking a hard word to someone because they've hurt us doesn't mean it has to be a harsh word. Honest words may hurt, but they're structured for help and for healing. Harsh words attack, blame, shame, and accuse another person. They're used as a weapon. But Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 12:18 that the tongue of the wise brings healing. So regular and frequent use of harsh words toward a person will destroy a relationship. And that's not what we want. But all healthy relationships need freedom. You need the freedom to express yourself, who you are, your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas, without being afraid that you're going to be squashed. You also need the freedom to respectfully challenge someone else's behavior or their ideas. And that doesn't mean we just freely dump all our toxic feelings out on another person whenever we feel them. That's like vomit. And vomit feels good to get it out, but it belongs somewhere in the toilet, not on another person. However, when you're in a relationship where you're afraid to speak up, you're afraid to disagree, you're afraid to challenge something, and you're afraid to be yourself, there is something fundamentally wrong with that relationship. It can go in one of two directions. Either what's wrong is you're too invested in making sure someone likes you. You're a people pleaser. You can't stand it when someone's mad at you or disappointed in you. Or the relationship is unhealthy and the other person disrespects your God-given right to be separate and have your own thoughts and feelings. So when any of these three ingredients of mutuality, reciprocity, and freedom are missing, you might still be in a relationship with someone, but understand it's difficult, unhealthy, and often destructive. Now, some of you might be sitting there asking yourself, wait a minute, I'm guilty of some of these things some of the time in my relationship. I sin, they sin, doesn't everybody sin? When is the line crossed from healthy to toxic? There is no perfect relationship, and you're right. There's no perfect person. There's no perfect relationship. James 3:2 says, we all stumble in many ways and all relationships have conflict, but conflict involves solving a problem, not attacking another person, and damages when they happen because we did cross the line, are repaired through admitting it, confession, and real change. They're not repeated over and over and over again. So let me recap healthy versus unhealthy personal traits that create healthy or toxic relationship patterns. So when you've crossed the line, a healthy response is you're aware, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have said that. That was mean. An unhealthy response is, I didn't say that. Or you're just over-exaggerating. It wasn't that bad. They're blind to it. They refuse to see it. A healthy response is you admit, I crossed the line. You say it out loud. You confess it. An unhealthy response is, well, you made me. If you wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have said that. It's your fault I acted that way. Accusing, blaming, attacking, denying. A healthy response when you've crossed the line is you don't keep crossing the same line. You take that seriously and you do the work to repent and change. And an unhealthy response is you keep repeating the same patterns over and over and over again, which make the relationship then toxic. So to summarize, a healthy adult relationship is one in which both people in the relationship give and both receive. There's a safe and open exchange of ideas and feelings and thoughts, and all perspectives are considered and valued. And there's also the freedom to challenge, to confront, and strengthen one another.
Wow, so good, right? I think about how God is calling us to step up into maturity, to step up into owning our own lives, owning our yes, owning our no, setting healthy boundaries. This is all part of mature Christianity. You can't be spiritually mature if you're emotionally immature because you're not bearing fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you notice the fruits of the Holy Spirit, they're very emotionally mature. They're self-regulated. The nervous system is regulated because it's patient, it's self-controlled, it's kind, it's peace-loving, it's gentle, it has boundaries. That's part of the self-control. We have some free resources for you in this series we're doing from Christ Dependence, from codependence to Christ dependence. Go to drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent and learn how to parent your inner child with Jesus, and drbarbaraministries.org/rejection to help you overcome rejection. Also, make sure you're following us, following me on Instagram, Dr. Barbara Ministries, following me on Facebook, and following me on TikTok. We put out this content for you. We're now podcasting 3 times a week, with Fridays being Flashback Fridays. We podcast with a guest on Tuesday. Then you get a solo podcast with me, giving you where faith encounters psychology on Thursdays and Flashback Fridays. I will see you in all the usual places.